Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again. And on this, it's near to the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. And yes, I'm finally giving you permission to take down your Christmas tree, at least after this coming Sunday, because then we're back into ordinary time. Although, again, those of you who choose to keep it up until February 2nd, my hat's off to you. And I just thought I'd reflect a little bit. You know, a lot of my reflections here at the top of the show are based around the liturgical calendar, and some of you may be wondering why that is, why I choose that. You know, there's something that's just, there's something about the liturgical calendar that when we commit ourselves, and it does take a commitment, it takes intentionality to live according to it. You heard me ranting on this during Advent when everywhere else in our society is saying that it's already Christmas, and we as liturgical calendar, liturgically correct people, we're living the Advent season during that time and the lead up to Christmas. There's something about it that as it seeps into our bones, it is part of the way that time is sanctified. And that happens both within us and without us. Within us, it creates a responsiveness to the Lord and His promptings. It's not only about the wisdom of the Church, it is about that, but it's about the Lord specifically reaching out to us and remaking us more and more into His image and likeness, as St. Paul tells us that those whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so that is the journey that we are currently on. And, you know, if every day was like every other day, we would see a marked difference between, between quote-unquote real life and church life. Because in real life, every day is not like every other day. We know this. Different days bring different things. We understand what a weekend means. We understand what Monday means. We have a feeling of that. But there is something about celebrating the seasons of the liturgical calendar, and in particular, even feast days on particular days, that helps us to recognize, well, for one, us being called as children of God, and two, us living in communion with those who have gone before us when we're celebrating particular saints. We also see our own lives transformed in terms of how we view the cycle of Christ's own life, which is in whose image we are being remade. So we start to recognize that as we go through our own earthly life, hopefully in the celebration of the liturgical seasons, it does start to mirror Christ's life even more and more. So there's that. It also transforms the world without us, not only through some of the, should we say, countercultural ways that we live as Catholics, i.e., say, living the Advent season instead of the Christmas season, or carrying on the Christmas season until January 6th or January 13th or February 2nd this year. It is a witness. It is a testimony to the world around us, and it is a giving over. It's actually, I would say, it's an expression of what I continue to claim is one of the most scandalous, in this day and age anyway, one of the most scandalous claims of the Catholic Church, that your life is not about you. Your life is not your own. It belongs to your Heavenly Father. It was given to you as a gift, and the greatest thing we can do is to turn around and give it back to Him. And we're invited to do just that, in part, through observing the liturgical calendar. And that's why, I mean, that's been had such a profound experience in my own life, especially as a convert to the Catholic faith. I've very slowly started getting into the rhythm of the liturgical seasons, first through my time in the Church of England, in the Anglican Church, and then as I became Catholic. And I've seen this as a way of, again, committing my life, my time to the Lord. And it is something that is, I would encourage people to take the next step. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be all in tomorrow. But take the next step. What's the next step in living more according to the sanctified time of the liturgical calendar. So that's my little challenge to you as we're looking at the baptism of the Lord. It is a time that Jesus started his public ministry after his time, of course, right after the baptism out in the wilderness. But it was a time to fulfill all righteousness, as Jesus tells us through when St. John the Baptist was objecting to having to baptize the Lord. Jesus said, "Let it be so," to fulfill all righteousness. And I think, again, that is something that we can live according to. We're called to live according to. All right, so that's my little 2 cents for this morning, or this weekend, I should say, here on the Rediscover Hour. And welcome all the listeners to a great show we got in store for us today. First off, we're going to have Ryan Shustichek and Michelle LaPlante here with us in studio talking about Totus Tuus. I hope you know a little bit about Totus Tuus, but if you don't, they're here to give you all the details. After that, we're going to be talking with Kathleen Beckman, who's going to be talking to us. She's a presenter at the upcoming WINE conference for Women in the New Evangelization. She's going to be speaking at that, and she's going to be sharing a little bit about her own ministry and then also what she's going to be talking on. And then finally, we're going to round out the morning with Alex Schindler. She's going to be with us to talk about, the World Youth Day that's coming up in Panama. So she's got a lot to share with us that way as well. That's what's in store for us on the Rediscover Hour today. I pray that you will make it with us all the way through the show, because there's going to be some really good things as we're talking to these wonderful people. Let's start off, as we always do, though, committing the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. As together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're off into our first break. When we come back, Ryan Shustichek and Michelle LaPlante are here with us to talk Totus Tuus. Stay with us.
Discover. Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3%, with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today. And I just showed up.
To the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. We are talking Totus Tuus with Ryan Shustichek, who is a seminarian for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. He's currently at St. John Vianney College Seminary, and he is a junior there and absolutely loves it, according to my notes. Welcome, Ryan, to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you here. Along with him is Michelle LaPlante, who is a fourth grade teacher at St. Helena Catholic School in Minneapolis. This is your first year teaching fourth graders.
That's right.
Wow. Michelle, welcome to the program. Good
Thank
to have you with
so
us
much.
As well. All right. So, Totus Tuus, that sounds Latin, which, of course, good Catholics are, they're familiar with Latin, at least in the way it sounds, right? What does Totus Tuus mean, and where does it come from, Ryan?
Yeah. So, Totus Tuus was JP2's model, and basically it means totally yours. And so that's where the program gets its name. And I think that goes both ways, that as a missionary, we are totally yours. We are giving ourselves completely to the parishes, to the children that we're serving, but also the parishes that you go to, they are also totally ours, right? They gave themselves so generously to us. So the motto is just very fitting for the name of the program.
Yeah, very good. All right, so take us into some of the details of the program, Michelle. I mean, what is it, how does it work?
Yeah, so it is like a vacation Bible school, but so much more. one of the things that really stands out to me that's different than all the other programs that I researched was that it has mass every day and confession every day. And so while we are teaching them, and that is valuable, the best we can do is bring them to the sacraments. And so that is daily, the mass, the confession. And then we have classes. We have four classes. They're split up into bite-sized pieces so that we can talk about the rosary, the creed. And during these classes, we get into the details of the faith. We don't water it down. These kids, we put it in a way that they can understand. But they can take in a lot. They can take in a lot about the faith.
I think we oftentimes underestimate the abilities of these kids to take in a lot about the faith. And it sounds like Totus Tuus addresses that. But just so we're clear here, so this is what, teams of young adults going into parishes and catechizing children? Is that the way it works, Ryan?
Yeah, yep. So the team is four people, right? Two guys and two girls. And okay. A lot of times the guys will be seminarians. But you're on the road for 6 to 7 weeks and you're going to these parishes and you're catechizing the young kids, but you're also praying in community as a team. You're living the life from the time you wake up in the morning until the time you go to bed. You're with these people, and you're doing the Lord's will. So that was really huge for us. I know Michelle was actually on my team this summer, so we got to spend the entire summer together, but we grew in prayer with each other. And what's better than bringing Jesus to children with people that are like your siblings? You really grow in community with them, and that was very beautiful. So
yeah.
That's great. You would agree, Michelle?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay, well, I thought maybe having to hang out with this guy. Just kidding. I've just met Ryan, and I'm already picking on him. I guess that's not very fair.
It's all good.
All right. Sorry, Ryan. What do your days look like? What is a typical day in Totus Tuus as a team member?
Yeah. So we, like you said, prayer was really the central part of being on the team. And so it doesn't have to work this way, but we decided to do our holy hour right away in the morning. I know that it's part of the program to start the rosary out in the day as well.
What does right away in the morning mean?
Right away in the morning means you're up by 6:30 in
the
morning.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I was waiting for you to say, I know some young adults, right? And I was waiting for you to say like, yeah, 10.
Yeah.
Okay, no, 6:30, that's good. Okay, go ahead.
So we get up, we pray. We usually pray at the church that we're serving at. And then we get ready. The kids come in. We get ready for our lessons. The kids are in around 9. And then we get them all pumped up for the day with a big pump-up session. There's anywhere from like 25 to 100 kids, depending on the parish. And
so you're doing calisthenics at this time or what? how do you pump up the kids?
We get them excited by singing some pretty crazy songs.
Okay.
We are actors. We do a lot of acting. And we just get really excited.
We'll play some games sometimes. I like to show them who's boss in Gaga Ball. So, they take me on that. But
I'm sorry. Gaga Ball is not computing here, but that's all right. Don't worry about it. Okay.
Yeah, so we get them all hyped up in the morning. So that's really good. Get some of the energy out before we go to our first class.
Mm-hmm. Probably a good idea.
Yeah. Yep.
Because what ages of kids are we talking about here?
So during the day, it's first grade through sixth grade. And then they're divided up into three different classes. So first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Mm-hmm.
And each of the classes, then we go into class and they're 20 minutes apiece. So not too long.
Yeah.
But you can still get some good material across.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start it in prayer. We might do a little activity. And then we really get into the nitty-gritty parts of the faith that we're talking about. So this year it was the Luminous Mysteries and the Apostles' Creed. And the Apostles' Creed, I mean, the Creed is statement of what you believe. So these kids in each of these 20-minute sections were getting a line of that prayer. And so throughout the week, they really got the basis of what we believe as Catholics.
Right.
And when we were learning at training about like how to teach each of these things, I was like, where was this when I was little? Learning these parts of the faith. But the 20-minute sections, I think, are key, especially like you can keep their attention and keep it engaging, but it's not too long. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we'll have a snack during the course of the morning. And one of the things that really stood out to me as really, really you could see the results was our mass prep. So before we went to mass every day, we would teach them why we genuflect. Mm-hmm. Why do we make the sign of the cross with the holy water? You know, why do we say these responses? We talked about stories of devotion to the Eucharist that the different saints had. So really trying to get out of that going through the motions. My parents bring me to Mass. You know, this is just what we have to do.
Right.
To really, why?
There's and reason behind it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's four of you on the team that are coming in. How many kids are usually involved? I suppose that varies quite a bit from mm-hmm. parish to parish. Is that right?
Yep. Every parish varies a little bit. But four of us for however many kids there are, and that's just how it is. And each parish, you know, has its different kind of flares to it in a very good way. So that kept things interesting. It was very good. But yeah, the four of us have all the kids there. So.
But you came in with a particular set program, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was what you're bringing in. And you said it starts, the kids show up at 9, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then how late do they stay in the day?
They stay, the younger kids, yeah. Grade school stays until 2:30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
so
a pretty long time.
We have an hour recess, lunch and recess together. So that's another time to just grow in community with them and get the wiggles out. So
of course, nice. Get the wiggles out. Yes. Excellent. Okay. So you've mentioned a couple times that's the younger kids. Mm-hmm. So there's something for older kids too. Yeah.
Yep. So in the evening, starting around 7 o'clock, the older kids will come to the youth room or wherever the parish is holding it. And a lot of this is based around relational ministry. So mm-hmm. this is middle school and high school age teens. And they'll come, we'll hang out with them. A lot of times we'll have a meal together, play a game, or go outside, play some ultimate frisbee. You know, Catholics love their ultimate frisbee.
Yep.
So doing that. And then we'll have a talk and some small groups, some time to grow in fellowship, because they might not remember a lot of the teachings that they take away from this, you know, but they're going to remember how the missionaries treated them, how they were loved in mm-hmm. the church. And so that's a really big part of the evening program. And then throughout the week, we also offer the sacraments. So we'll have confessions available, and then we have a time for Eucharistic adoration. So yeah, the evening program is much different than the day program, but very good. In its
now,
own regard.
And you said you're doing this for 6 to 7 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted just thinking about it, quite frankly. Did you find yourselves pretty wiped? What do you think?
Well, we did have a week off for the 4th of July.
Okay.
So that was a really good time to recharge. It was exhausting, but you just get so much energy from each other mm-hmm. and from prayer. And we have a little bit of time in the afternoon to kind of reconvene, do things. We did a lot of coffee shops. We really, really yep. enjoyed our coffee.
I'm right there with you. Excellent. Yeah. Okay. And you said you're on the road as well. So you're traveling around to different parishes within mm-hmm. the Archdiocese or?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. All right. So all the parishes that we go to will be located in the Archdiocese.
Okay.
And you spend a week at every parish. So you show up on Saturday,
right.
You meet the priest, the director of religious ed, and then from there, you're there all week. You stay with a host family. So the guys will stay at a host home, girls stay at a different one, and you are serving that parish all week until you leave the following Saturday, to which you'll go to your next parish.
Right.
And sounds exhausting, and it is exhausting to a certain extent, but I think it's also really beautiful to kind of be totally theirs, you know, just give right. of yourself completely, as you were saying, to start off the show. And I think there's something beautiful to that, doing it with three other people who are also striving for sainthood.
Well, yeah, right. And is being a Totus Tuus team member, I mean, do you go through some sort of training then as well? How does that work?
Yeah. So we went, we do training with a few different dioceses. That is what we did last year. And so we went down to Winona. They kind of switch off between doing training in Winona and St. Paul. And we got some amazing, amazing training down there from just a couple different priests and a teacher and people who have gone through Totus Tuus in different ministry before. So they went college. It was like a college level crash course in so many things about the faith.
Really?
Yeah.
It's crazy. How long was the training?
It was a week.
A week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Sun up to sundown. You were learning.
Wow.
But you're also having fun. So it was
okay.
good.
Okay. All right. And how many young adults were part of the training?
Ooh.
I'd say from the archdiocese, we probably had about 10. And then there were four different dioceses there. So I'd say about 40 people down there. But
so if young adults happen to be interested in, they're intrigued by what they're hearing, and they haven't made summer plans yet. How would you encourage them?
Well, if someone would have explained it to me like this, I would have been interested. So what is better than eating a lot of good food, being on the road with three other people who are striving for sainthood, getting paid to talk about Jesus and hang out with kids all day? I mean, in my mind, it just doesn't get better than that, you know? Being able to share the gospel with God's children in a program that's so rooted in the sacraments. I mean, it's just so beautiful. I wish I could just show everyone how beautiful this program really is.
Yeah, I think you really said it, Ryan. And I also think if you have any insecurities, like, oh, that's not for me, I don't teach, I don't, don't even worry about it. That training is going to help you with the teaching. The Holy Spirit's going to come in clutch. You're going to learn so many great things from your different team members. And yeah, I would say don't talk yourself out of it. Just if you are at all thinking about it, apply and then let God make the decision. Don't just try to talk yourself out of it, because it is a huge adventure. Best summer of my life.
Indeed. Wow. I agree. I second that.
Yeah.
And I'd say I met, you know, some of my best friends this summer. It was just a really beautiful experience. But like what Michelle was saying, everyone comes in with different gifts. And some people are better at administration. Michelle's great at teaching. Obviously, she's a teacher. And then some people are really gifted in prayer. And the Holy Spirit's going to utilize what you bring to the table and put you on a team to where your gifts are going to be best utilized. So it's just, don't be afraid. fear.
Right. Yeah. Be not afraid. Another indeed. JP2s. Yeah. Well, I must say I'm a little disappointed that I'm 47 years old now. And so I'm not really up for that. It sounds great. It sounds amazing. Yeah. It sounds like a great summer. And so I think we've got some information on it on the Archdiocesan website, maybe at our vocations page, 10,000vocations.org. Or Ryan, you were saying before the show that you can just probably Google it.
Yeah, if you type in Totus Tuus, Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, it'll be the first link to come up there.
Okay.
That's where under I
laity.
Found it.
Yep.
All right, wonderful. Well, Ryan Schuster-Check and Michelle LaPlante, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right. It's been great talking about Totus Tuus and just so many great things that the Lord is doing in young people's lives these days. But you know what? As a 47-year-old, he's still doing stuff in my life. He's still doing stuff in, well, Paul Sadek's life. I mean, and so anyway, we're gonna hear now about some of the things that he is doing in the lives of specifically women. We're joined by Kathleen Beckman, who's calling in, and she is a Catholic speaker. She's a Catholic author. She's authored 7 books on the spiritual life, including When Women Pray, 11 Catholic Women on the Power of Prayer. She's the president of Foundation of Prayer for Priests. And she is going to be coming up and presenting at the upcoming WINE, Women in the New Evangelization Conference. Kathleen, good morning and welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Well, thank you. Good morning to you. I'm delighted to be with you.
Yeah. Well, so I just gave a brief synopsis of you and who you are and what you do. Can you? I know that you had a pretty stunning encounter with the Lord when you were on pilgrimage. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. You know, I was cradle Catholic and devout as a young girl, Catholic school, but at the beginning of married life and raising our children, my husband and I started a business. It was quite successful, and I got really caught up in the world and kind of pushed God out of my life. I ended up volunteering at a medical clinic, and it was run by nuns. It was a free medical clinic. And the sister who started the clinic asked me to lead a pilgrimage. I was on her board and asked me to help her lead a pilgrimage to Lourdes, France, and so I did. And it was there that I really encountered what I would say the beauty of the church. It's very dynamic to go there. It was very dramatic. The healings that I experienced, the processions with the sick people, the Marian processions, the candlelight singing of the Ave, and my heart was completely broken open and captured by that very beauty of the church and the praying church. And the church was very alive with, you know, thousands and thousands of people loving the Lord and having this great faith. And for me, it just broke open my heart, as I said. And so I had a very strong conversion there in Lourdes. And when I came back, much of it was through the Eucharist, because there were Eucharistic processions, as anybody who has been to Lourdes knows, and the beauty is just captivating. And so when I returned, I began to go to daily Mass. And that daily Mass, I also began to go to daily adoration. So I've been doing that for about 35 years, and
wow.
It is the foundation of my prayer life, and the foundation of my life, period.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the foundation of any apostolate that I have.
Right, and the Lord has you writing books and out speaking at various events like this upcoming wine conference. What particularly, are there specific elements of the spiritual life or of prayer that you are most passionate about and you find that the Lord leads you back into time and time again?
Well, I would say that I have a very Eucharistic spirituality. And so for me, prayer is not only personal prayer, which is very important. That's why I have a daily holy hour, but the liturgical prayer of the church. I remember the first time I visited with my spiritual director back 35 years ago. He was a man of prayer, and he had been in the Trappist monastery, so he knew a lot about the interior life. And I said, "Father, I want to grow in holiness." And he said, "If you want to grow in holiness, let the church's Holy Mother Church will guide you through her liturgical life. Follow the liturgical life of the church." And that was foundational for me. That is a great bit of wisdom. Our church is a Holy Mother that knows how to form souls in the interior life. So if we really are committed to a liturgical spiritual life, then, you know, that is very powerful, and we will grow through that. And then the daily holy hour is my, you know, personal time with the Lord, and that has seen me through so much. You know, tragedy in my family, there was a loved one that was murdered. There are many, many challenges, and so the Eucharist, being rooted in the Eucharist, is probably what most people hear from me. I also, you know, this wine conference,
yeah,
beautifully united in the spirit, I would say open our heart, you know, open your heart to the Holy Spirit, because I remember a life-changing book that I read was The Sanctifier by Archbishop Martinez. And when I read that, I understood. I actually knelt down by my bed and said, I asked the Archbishop, who was the author, to take me as a spiritual child and help me to be open to the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'll be speaking a lot about at the conference, just the way that our souls are created for beauty, the way that women are created to relate, and the way that the Holy Spirit, when we come together in like an environment like a wine conference, the Holy Spirit is very dynamic, and you know, He gives us that dynamism of the interior life. And so I would say if a person really opens themselves up to the third person of the Trinity, their giftedness will come forth, and He will do amazing things.
Wonderful. I want to come right back to that, but first I just want to throw in a word that I had not talked to you before this interview, and but I opened the show basically saying some of the same things that you were saying about the liturgical liturgical life that that leads us into a deeper relationship with the Lord. So in case people have been listening all the way through the show at this point, that was not prompted. The Holy Spirit must be at work, because you and I think are saying some of the same things there and how important that is. All right. So that is certainly one of the ways of opening oneself up to the Holy Spirit. But can you give a little bit more insight into how does one do that? I know you're going to be speaking about this at the wine conference, but if you can give us just a little snapshot, a little teaser into what that means. Or how? What are some of the practical ways one can open oneself up to the Holy Spirit?
Well, one of my favorite prayers is the Veni Creator Spiritus.
Mm.
And I was blessed to be at Pentecost events with St. John Paul II in Rome, and also with Pope Benedict on Pentecost, and the Pentecost Vigil in Rome, 500,000 people there. And that Veni Creator Spiritus prayer was prayed and chanted, and just coming before the Lord or starting your day and saying, "Holy Spirit, fall afresh upon me." Just, you know, we receive the Holy Spirit at baptism. And I think, you know, a lot of times we think that our sacraments were, you know, at a time and a place, but they are dynamic. And so our sacraments, they're like reservoirs of grace, and so we can tap into that. And by asking the Holy Spirit that came into us that we received at baptism to come into us each day, is, I think, very much help. The Holy Spirit helps us to be attuned to the movement of God, and not only in ourselves but in all this, our environment, the people around us, and each situation day by day. So the it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we really become that, like for women, the handmaids of the Lord, and for men, just to be like Joseph, to be so attuned to what is the Lord asking you to do, to be open to the movement and the promptings of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, invite him in.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Yeah, right. That's been certainly my experience as well, that God doesn't, he doesn't push himself on anybody, but man, once you even open the door a crack,
right.
Yeah, it comes flooding in, yeah.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about the book that I mentioned here at the opening, When Women Pray, 11 Catholic Women on the Power of Prayer. What is the book about?
Well, you know, I know that I've been in ministry with Magnificat for 35 years, and I've also been helping and assisting priests with the exorcism, deliverance, and healing ministry. It is what I coordinate in my diocese, and I'm also affiliated with the school, the institute that trains the priests to be the exorcist once they are assigned. I've also been trained in Rome by the International Association of Exorcists, because the exorcists always have a team. And that said, I know how foundational prayer is in a relationship with the Lord. And so, you know, I wanted to write a book. The inspiration actually came during adoration to me when I was pondering the in Matthew's Gospel, the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish.
Yeah.
And I started to contemplate about throughout the history of the church, you know, that we've had, you know, wonderful gifts from the wise women, and yet there's been as many foolish women that have thrown their gifts and their service away. And so I had this idea to present a book on prayer, but I didn't want it to just be about the way I pray. I wanted it to be, you know, a variety, to show that the Holy Spirit works so differently in different souls. So I wanted to also really work on this idea of Mary and Martha. So I chose the women that have, like Kelly Walchrist, who's the foundress of Wine, mm-hmm. and Johnette Binkovic, who's the foundress of Women of Grace, and Marilyn Quirk, who's the foundress of Magnificat. I chose like 10 of the church's most visible, busy women. We see the fruit in their apostolate, but I really wanted to write a book about what grounds them. How do they pray? You know, because for me, for example, I would say it's 10 hours of prayer for every 1 hour of you know, active ministry. And so I thought this is going to be a long shot that any one of those busy women would say yes to writing a chapter in the book, but every single one agreed. And Lisa Hendy from Catholic Mom, and there's three Dr. Rhonda Shervin and Dr. Mary Healy and Dr. Pia Di Soleni, they all contributed to the book. And so these are women that, you know, God is using powerfully in his vineyard, and yet in the book they share what really fuels them in their prayer life. So it's really come together well.
That's amazing. Wow. We're talking with Kathleen Beckman, if you're just joining us. She is a presenter and a speaker at our upcoming Wine Women's Conference here in Minnesota, Women in the New Evangelization. Just the details on that, it's going to be Saturday, March 2nd at St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church in Brooklyn Park. There is a special evening option the night before on Friday, March 1st. There's going to be a little gathering in the vineyard, as they're calling it, just some social time there. And then March 2nd throughout the day is the conference itself. Again, St. Vincent de Paul in Brooklyn Park. And you can find out all the information about the conference and register online. In fact, there's an early bird deadline coming up at the beginning of next month, the beginning of February. You can go to wineconference.org or check out the events page at rediscover-faith.org. Kathleen, again, as you're speaking at this conference, it's chosen as its theme, Beautifully United in Spirit, and sharing some about your own experiences and encouraging women. What are a few of the things that you hope women take away from your presentation and in deepening their walk with the Lord?
I would hope that they would really be confirmed in their own giftedness as a child and woman of God, and that they would open themselves up to the Holy Spirit and recommit really to a very intentional spiritual life, because we are all very busy, especially in America. I do a lot of work outside of America, but Americans are crazy busy, and so I think we need to be very intentional about our prayer life, our interior life. So I hope to get them excited about the spiritual life, because, you know, I tried the way of the world, and I was living the dream of, having it all according to worldly standards, and it was boring compared to the spiritual life with the Lord. It's so exciting to walk with the Lord, and I hope that they will come together and just have a lot of joy and healing and inspiration, and I'm sure that they will.
And you have a manifold of influences in your own life, too. I see here that you're formed in Eucharistic discipleship, studied at Catholic institutes, trained in the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and in Carmelite spirituality. So you're bringing all this experience, but I suppose first and foremost, being a daughter of God, to bear in the presentation that you're going to give, yeah?
Yes, that's our hope and prayer.
Exactly, right. Well, Kathleen Beckman, it's been a joy talking to you. We thank you for saying yes to the Lord. We thank you for his work in your life, especially at Lourdes in 91, and bringing you into close relationship with him, and look forward to hearing all about how it goes there at the Wine Conference this year. Thanks for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Keep up your good work.
Thank you. You too. God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so women, again, I hope you can check that out. Go to wineconference.org, and you can find out more information there, or you can find out more about the Wine Conference at our events page at rediscover-faith.org. All right, we are going to go into our next break. When we come back, Alex Schindler joins us, and she's going to talk about the upcoming trip to Panama for World Youth Day. Stay with us.
Talking about loving our enemies today.
The Inner Life with Chuck Neff.
This is from one of our listeners. She says, sorry to say, I literally hated two of my sisters for something they did to my dear mother. I would confess this hatred, but kept struggling and going over the incident time and time again. The turning point was reading the wise words of a 95-year-old priest, and this is what he wrote. Pray for the person you resent day and night. Call down God's blessings on them. Lord, give them good health, joy, peace, love, and happiness. Refuse to speak of their faults. Become their cheerleader. Peace will come. I taped his words to the back of my bedroom door so that I pray for them first thing and last thing every day. She says, I won't forget what they have done, but that horrible, sinful hatred is long gone.
Wow.
We just could repeat that about 10 times here. Such great advice for all of us.
Hope and help for your faith journey. The Inner Life, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio. Talk radio for Catholic life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Susanna Perrin, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, and coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Well, we've gone from totus tuus to wine to World Youth Day. Alex Schindler joins me. She is the coordinator of discipleship and evangelization at Good Shepherd Catholic Church right here in Golden Valley, as well as the associate music director at Annunciation in South Minneapolis. And she does contract worship around the Twin Cities metro. Alex, good to have you back on the program.
Good to be back.
Yeah, welcome. Well, but this time we're talking about World Youth Day. I would imagine most of our listeners are familiar with World Youth Day is, but just in case, give us a snapshot. What is World Youth Day?
Yes. So World Youth Day is a gathering of youth, which in the sense for this event is 15-year-olds to 30-year-olds, typically, that was started in 1984 by John Paul II to just bring together the youth from around the world and to be a way of new evangelization in the young people's lives.
Right. And I know that there was, or at least I've heard that there was pretty significant resistance to it early on that, this will never work. And then
I think the first two were kind of a trial run, and then it's just kept going since then.
Yeah. All right. Have you been to a World Youth Day before?
I have not.
Oh, this will be your first one.
This will be my first one.
And I've already let the cat out of the bag, but where is it this year?
It's in Panama City.
Panama City, right. Yeah. Are you excited? Have you ever been to Panama before?
No.
And so you're excited to go there as well?
Yes.
Yeah, I can imagine. Right. How's your Spanish?
Decent.
Okay.
Kind of.
Yeah.
So I worked at St. Stephen's in South Minneapolis for about a year, and that's kind of how I got connected with the group that's going down to Panama this year.
Right.
So I was the music director there, and so my Spanish is about as good as it was back then.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure it'll come. Are there more? It'll be developed. Let's say that. Yes. Yeah. All right. Very good. Is Pope Francis going to make an appearance at this?
He will.
Yeah. Excellent. I figured so. Yeah. That's wonderful. So now, are you going just to take it in, or are you going in some capacity of leadership?
I'm going in a leadership capacity. So I was asked to come as a musician and worship leader, as well as just kind of leadership to help direct the pilgrimage itself, to kind of keep us on the course of what a pilgrimage actually is for.
Yes,
We're not going on a vacation down to Central
America.
Right.
It's not just a big party in Central America, right?
Yeah, even though it is.
It is, yeah. Well, any footage that I've seen of World Youth, I remember being impressed even as a non or a pre-Catholic. I was like, wow, these people are just, they're having fun.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm sure down in Central America, it's going to be even more so.
Yeah, big. Yeah, okay. But it's a pilgrimage, too, as you're explaining. Sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah, so it is a pilgrimage. So it's a journey to help us kind of remember our earthly pilgrimage to heaven in some sense. So there's definitely more depth to it than what you might think if you're just saying, oh, I'm going down to Panama for a week and a half.
Right.
Yeah, and so kind of to help guide that pilgrimage, the Pope chooses a scripture theme for each World Youth Day. And this time around, he chose a theme for each of the years leading up to this year. So we've been on this pilgrimage with Mary. I know the last time I was in the studio, I was talking about Archdiocesan Youth Day, which we had adopted the themes for World Youth Day for that. So yeah, we've been on this journey with Mary kind of through the beginning of Luke's gospel. And this year, it's going to be focusing on, I'm the servant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word.
Yeah.
Which I think is just such a good thing of to really ponder on and kind of chew spiritually on, like, what are the things that the Lord is asking of me? And to have the humility to come before and say, may it be done.
as
Mary did.
And it sounds so simple, right? But it's not.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And so you also said that you're going to be leading some worship times.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we're actually leaving a couple days before World Youth Day. So we're going to fly into Costa Rica on the 19th. And we're going to be staying with some Carmelite sisters there in Cartago. Costa Rica. And so kind of getting into World Youth Day, I'll be doing some music and just leading mass music, as well as probably some adoration or just times of worship, as well as then on the way out of World Youth Day, we are going to kind of make the same trip back up to Costa Rica and then come back up to Minneapolis.
Right. And how many days is World Youth Day?
So it's the 22nd through the 27th of January.
Yeah.
So it's about a week.
It's about a week, yeah. So it's World Youth Days.
Right.
Technically, yes. Okay.
Right.
Very good. Any thoughts or have you heard any estimates as to how many people you think might show up to World Youth Day this year?
So I was just doing some research because I found out on New Year's Day that I was joining this trip.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's recent. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
This week. But doing some research just on like what to expect and how to get ready myself. And in the research I was doing, it sounded like for the vigil, which happens on Saturday night. So there's an overnight vigil where people generally just sleep out in the field getting ready for the mass in the morning on Sunday. They're expecting maybe 2 million or more.
2 million people.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. That's I can't even picture it in my head.
Yeah.
2 million people. And you're going to be right there in the middle of them.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Are you okay with crowds? Do you do okay with crowds?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not, I suppose young people are probably a little bit less thwarted by crowds.
I mean, it depends on how close people are to my
Well, now, that's a good point because, you know, I mean, if we're talking usually areas outside of the United States and maybe parts of Western Europe, I mean, their personal space is not a thing for them, right? So in Panama, it might be just
we might
shoulder
be like
shoulder.
Sardines. So
yes, yeah, okay, all right.
But it's a pilgrimage, so
it is right. And
you
and
take
there's
the
people,
things that come
right. And generally speaking, there's people from all over the world.
Yes,
I mean it is literally World
yep.
Youth Day, right?
Yeah, so they're expecting people from pretty much every country, I think, to come, including bishops. So I think when I was talking to Father Michael Daly, who's one mm-hmm. of the priests going on this trip, he was saying that Bishop Cousins will be down there.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll try and meet up with him. And I think there's another group from the Archdiocese going as well. Yeah. So
he's, I know for a fact that he's aged out. I mean,
well, yes.
But so I guess my only hope of going to a World Youth Day, since I have aged out long ago, is to become a priest or a bishop then, I guess.
Or just come as a leader.
Oh, can you do that?
Yeah.
Oh.
And really, the World Youth Day is supposed to be for the 15 to 30-year-olds, but it's open to everyone. It's geared towards those ages, but they're not going to stop anyone from coming to celebrate our faith.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Crashing World Youth Day is basically what I'm hearing here. Excellent. All right. So take us back to, you said you just found out on New Year's Day that you were
yeah.
going. All right. Walk us through that. What was that like?
So I got a couple weeks ago, Father Michael and I kind of put together a half day retreat for the Latino young adults that are going on, the World Youth Day pilgrimage, as well as there's a group in Indianapolis right now at the Sikh conference done by
mm-hmm.
Focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were doing, that half day retreat, and it had turned out that one of their adults had kind of dropped out last minute, and I was like, well, Father, if there's any way that I can come, I would love to, not thinking about all the things that were on my calendar in January.
Uh-huh.
And so then over Christmas, when I was home in Kentucky, Father called me and was like, hey, we have a spot for you. You want to come?
Wow.
And then I had already looked at my calendar between those two times and was like, well, shoot, I have like two retreats and holy hours
yeah.
and all these other things that I'll have to cancel. And I don't know that I can get coverage for all those things. And so on New Year's, Father reached back out to me and was like, hey, what's the verdict? We need to know today so we can get you a plane ticket. And it was on New Year's that everything just kind of unfolded, that all of a sudden the retreats that I had reached out and asked, I know that I've committed to this, but if there's any way we can find someone to sub in for me, this opportunity came up. I would love to do that, but I want to respect
mm-hmm.
the commitment I made to you all. And just one after one, the things kind of just fell into place. And it was like, yep, the retreat's covered. Yep, these things can get covered. And it was like, well, it seems like the Holy Spirit is just opening all the doors for
yeah,
this trip to happen.
He tends to do that.
He does.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. So, now that we're, I mean, you're getting very close to leaving. Are
yeah.
you, what's your feeling? Are you excited? Are you apprehensive at all? I mean, what's going on?
I had a lot of apprehension the last couple of days,
okay.
just going through the like, oh my gosh, this is 18 days away. What mm-hmm. the heck do I need to do to get ready to go to Central America and to, get all the things that I need to be able to make this a successful trip and a not stressful trip. But now the excitement and the reality of like, I'm going to World Youth Day is
mm-hmm.
setting in. And so it's just been the last like 24 hours or so have just been really good. And actually moving into that spiritual preparation time
yeah.
of, okay, Lord, what is it that you have for me on this trip? And what is it that you're asking for me to give on this trip as well?
I think that's a good thing to do. Anybody who's going on pilgrimage to get ready for a good way of getting ready for that, both what
yeah.
do you want to give me and then what are you asking me to give?
Yeah.
I think that's good. And you're going to be in a position of leadership too. How many, remind me, how many are going from in the St. Stephen's group?
So from St. Stephen's, St. Odelia's and a couple
yeah.
other of the Latino parishes.
That's right. Cause Father Daly's mm-hmm. at St. Odelia's now, right?
I think there's 25 to 30 of us
okay.
going, including two priests and then, myself and Enzo Randazzo, who
yeah.
works both in the evangelization office
yeah.
and at St. Stephen's. So
yeah, we've talked to him a couple times
yep.
about World Youth Day. That's great.
Yeah.
And do you, remind me, did you say you've traveled outside the U.S. before?
I have.
You
so
have.
In 2016, I walked the Camino de Santiago.
Oh, you
so
did.
I had a bit of pilgrimage prep.
Yes,
know
right.
what to expect.
Well, I'm just imagining for anybody who hasn't, and I've only got to assume that, you know, for this is a large enough and a significant enough event that for people who are coming, this may be the first time they've traveled outside their own country before.
Yeah.
Just to make it here. And that, I mean, that in and of itself is a transformational experience. It was for me. I'm sure it was for you, too.
Yeah.
If you were at the Camino. Anything that you're... I know it's impossible to predict what the Lord is going to do, right? I mean, it's just that way. Anything that you're... Any desires or anything that you're... I know this is kind of a personal question, but that you're personally carrying into this pilgrimage that you're looking for the Lord's guidance on?
I think one of the things that I... It's not so much a thing for me, but a desire that I have for this archdiocese is that all of the young adults that go on this trip would come back on fire
mm-hmm.
and would be great impactors and evangelizers in the area here, which is also kind of the goal of both Father Joseph Williams and Bishop Cousins, is that to put time and resources and effort into ministering to and caring for the young adult Latinos, because they make up such a large population of our young Catholic
Absolutely.
Church today.
Right.
So I'm just really hopeful that each of them comes away, and myself. I've learned not to expect things, not to have expectations, because the Lord always blows them out of the water or says, well, yours are really tiny. I have this other thing planned for you.
Well, that's, you know what? That's very, very wise. I used to lead teams of college students on summer mission trips. And I would tell them the biggest favor you can do to yourself right now is to get rid of your expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's very good. We're talking with Alex Schindler, who's going to be traveling down to Panama City for World Youth Day here very, very soon. It's coming up. Do they put just Alex is, do they put kind of, can anybody show up?
So you have to register as a pilgrim.
You do have to register mm-hmm. as a pilgrim. Okay.
Yep. So then you get a lanyard that allows you to get in. So part of the World Youth Day events is daily catechesis with the bishops in various areas around the city, as well as just kind of festival events throughout the week.
Nice.
So in order to get into those things, you have to be a registered pilgrim.
And do you happen to know, is registration closed for that, or is it?
I don't think so.
Oh, wow. So if somebody's listening and saying, man, I want to go. Well, God bless you. But, you know, check it out. Register as a pilgrim so you can get into some of these things. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Well, Alex, I'm looking forward to, hopefully, maybe we can even talk to you after you come back and hear a little bit more about your experiences here at World Youth Day and some of the hopes that the Lord has placed on your heart and how the Lord has responded to those questions you were talking about. You know, what do you want me to receive, and then what do you want me to give? Maybe one final question for you before we need to let you go here is, as you're looking ahead for how this World Youth Day could affect not just your own life, but the lives of maybe even parishes that you serve,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even just the church around the world, any thoughts about what World Youth Day might do for them?
I think it's an event that brings you in touch with the universality of our church,
right.
Which when I went over to Spain was a huge thing for, like, you hear and you know the church is everywhere, but there's something when you experience the universality of it where it's like, I don't have a clue what's being said right now, but I know exactly what's happening mm-hmm. within Mass mm-hmm. or just the hospitality of people. So I think it just opens your heart and your mind to more of what Jesus was in his life and how you can take on that that same kind of personhood of, like, being a servant and also just loving the people in front of you.
Being conformed to the image of his mm-hmm. son.
Yeah, yep.
Absolutely. Excellent. Well, Alex, it's been great to talk with you again. Alex Schindler talking to us about her upcoming pilgrimage and time to Panama City and World Youth Day. Thanks for joining us on the Rediscover,
Thank you,
Alex.
Patrick.
Yeah, God bless you. And safe travels.
Thank
right.
you.
Okay. And we are into our final break. When we come back, we've got all sorts of events, maybe not quite as on a grand a scale as World Youth Day, but all sorts of events that you can be part of. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer. A Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3%, with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%. Better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
You know, Paul, I gotta apologize. I didn't mean that dig in a negative way. That the Lord is still doing stuff in your life. I know He is.
He ain't done with
me. He ain't done with you yet, and He's not done with any of us. So, in that spirit,
thanks be to God.
Yeah, thanks be to God for that. What do we got going on?
Women are invited to the Women's Day of Reflection with award-winning local author and speaker Liz Kelly. Theme is "The Desert Shall Rejoice and Blossom." This morning of reflection is brought to you by the Knights of Columbus Ladies Auxiliary. It's on Saturday, January 19th, 8 to noon, Hayden Hall, Cathedral of St. Paul. Join us for a morning of reflection on hope, healing, and the majesty of a woman's heart for the new year ahead. Morning includes Mass, light breakfast, two talks, adoration. Cost $25. That includes a light breakfast. For more information, visit lizk.org and click on events or contact Joanne, 651-900-1321.
The Office of Marriage, Family, and Life invites you to join Archbishop Hebda for the annual prayer service for life, Tuesday, January 22nd, 10:30 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. This prayer service commemorates the millions of lives lost to abortion and the many women and men wounded by abortion's aftermath. All are invited and welcome. Immediately following the prayer service, we will walk to the state capitol for the Minnesota Citizens Concern for Life March for Life rally. For more information, please visit the events page at archspm.org or call the Office for Marriage, Family, and Life, 651-291-4488.
Discerning and using your charisms can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the Church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in our life and in the life of your parish. The Church of All Saints in Lakeville invites you to join them for a one-day called and gifted workshop on Saturday, January 26th, 9 to 5. To register for the workshop, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
Men from all over the Archdiocese are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally on Tuesday, February 12th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at St. Henry Catholic Church in Monticello. This evening includes Eucharistic adoration, confessions, dinner, and a presentation with author, speaker, and podcaster Matt Fradd, who will be giving the Man Talk. A free will offering of $20 is suggested but not required. Please register online by visiting the events page at rediscover-faith.org or contact Enzo Randazzo at randazzov@archspm.org.
Are you tired of divisive, angry politics? As Minnesota Catholics, we can begin to transform politics in our state. Join fellow parishioners and thousands more Catholics from across the state for a day of prayer and advocacy in St. Paul that will inspire you and teach you how to put your faith into action. Tuesday, February 19th, we're coming together for Life and Dignity for Catholics at the Capitol. Visit CatholicsAtTheCapitol.org for details and to register. Space is limited. Don't delay. Transportation options are available.
Paul, you ever been to World Youth Day?
I haven't, no.
I know, but it looks pretty amazing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I do hope we can have either Alex back on or somebody to come in and report on that here on the Rediscover.
I am going on a pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe.
That's right.
But I'll tell you more about that
okay,
later.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, on the next Rediscover Hour, we're going to hear from special guest Abby Johnson. You probably heard of her, author of the book Unplanned, the dramatic true story of a former Planned Parenthood leader's eye-opening journey across the lifeline. Also, we're going to talk about Bridget Busacker, founder of Managing Your Fertility. That's what's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. In the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.